Well, you're probably disappointed not to hear your pastor today, and I don't blame you. I love to hear him share God's word. But I do feel like I have some things that the Lord would like for me to share. And I've been praying that the people who would be here today would be the exact people who needed something in what's shared today. And so I believe that you are. I put the title change, and you know, that very word just strikes fear in some of us. I don't know many people that just love change and that they just look forward to it when something has to change in their work life or their family life or anything. But this is what I know: until you become dissatisfied with where you are, in any situation, you will not change. I'm a teacher, been teaching for 18 years, and how many times have I sat through staff development where the faculty sat and listened to some great ideas from a presenter of how this could make you a better teacher, and most of us just had no intention of doing anything that was shared that day. We were just sitting through the meeting. Because probably we were satisfied with what was going on in our classroom. And so no matter how many times your employer or anyone else talks to you about why you should make a change, until you decide that I am not satisfied with the result I'm getting in this area of my life, my job, my whatever, you will not receive their message. You may sit politely and nod your head like some of us do in meetings, but you will not apply. So I want to first just kind of bring you to the point, or help, maybe the Holy Spirit might bring you to a point if you need it, of dissatisfaction with your spiritual life. I want to ask you some questions. The simple question is, are you satisfied with your spiritual life? Think about it. Some people might say, well, do I have a spiritual life? You do. Your spirit will live forever. You are a spiritual being. Are you satisfied with your spiritual life? So think through that for just a minute. Some of us have given that question very little consideration. We really don't think like that. You know, we're busy. We're going, we're doing, and even when we're not going and doing, you know what I found? We keep our minds busy. We're so tired, you know, maybe we have a lot of responsibilities or a big project going on, and we finally get past the deadline, and we think, oh, I'm going to rest. And we probably do sleep some, but besides the sleep, what we do is we still engage our minds. Our minds stay busy all the time. I watch it all the time in people around me. You get a break. You go home, and do you just sit quietly in your chair and think about things? Not for long. The TV turns on, right? And then you got to check Facebook, see what everybody's doing. I mean, I haven't been on there in like 30 minutes. Somebody might have gone to the refrigerator. And then, you know, you've got to get on to a computer game, and you've got to get on your iPad, and you've got to check all your messages and your email and your 5 email accounts. And then, oh, man, I'm out of time. You got to go somewhere else. And if you're hurting, if you're tired, or if you're upset, you find friends to talk to. We're people. I love when Brother Jimmy said a couple of weeks ago, Miss Yakety. We're like that. We want to talk to somebody. We want somebody to talk to us. We want somebody to listen, really, is what we want. But very few times do we really let our mind be still and consider the important things, because we keep it so very busy. And one of those is your spiritual life. Right now, while you're thinking about, well, how is my spiritual life? I want you not to consider the things that you might be doing for the Lord, your acts, your external things. That's not what I'm talking about. I want to talk about some of these things. Here are some questions. Are you in pursuit of God in life? You know, everybody is in pursuit of something. That's the way we're geared. That's the human nature. Are you in an active pursuit of becoming closer to God? Or did you think that would just happen? That was just, if I go to church, this will just happen. Well, guess what? It won't. You have to be in active pursuit of God to move closer to Him. Now, I do want to say that the reason you ever start that pursuit is He was pursuing you in the first place. Praise His name. Okay? But is He your passion? Is He? Honestly, I ask a lot of questions today. Is He your passion? What do you find yourself thinking about, dreaming about, daydreaming about, making plans about? Is it Him? Is it what you're going to do to be closer to God, to know Him more? Is He the love of your life? That's really what the Abraham-Isaac story was all about. Abraham, am I the love of your life? Or is it your children? Most of us don't like that story. That's what he was doing in his life. Do you long to be in his presence? Do you find yourself wishing that you could get everything done so you could just sit and be still with the living God? Does that ever come across your mind? Do you pick up the word and read it because you can't wait to see what he wants to tell you today? He's in here. And I want to get to him. God, what is it today? Do you find yourself in conversations with people thinking, I wish you would get through talking about that so we could talk about my God? You know, it's great you got a new dress. I'm so excited about your shoes. That's wonderful. Your, you know, third cousins go into whatever. Do you find yourself, I just want to talk about what my God is doing. I want to know what's he doing in you so I can get closer to him because he can tell me about you and what he's doing. So, well, no, that's out there. But I am a Christian. I read my Bible. I go to church and I don't blah, blah, and I don't blah, blah, and I don't, and I don't, and I don't. Well, if you're there, if you're defending your spiritual life, you're not dissatisfied yet. If you're defending, well, that's just a little, you're not dissatisfied yet. Let's look at what the scripture says. And these are two, you know, the scripture says so much, but these are the two that just stuck me in the heart. Psalm 42:1, you can look it up or you can just stay with me. We're going to look up some more scriptures later, but Psalm 42:1, you probably know it by heart. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee, O Lord. David. Man, that's strong. Matthew 22:36-38. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? The greatest commandment. Lord, tell us the greatest commandment. And he said, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. those two scriptures were some of the things that helped me to become dissatisfied. Dissatisfied is where you have to start. My husband's doing the PowerPoint. Thank you, Jody. I probably won't stay with it too well. I don't usually teach with that. Once you've become dissatisfied, and I hope we all leave here today, me too, dissatisfied with our spiritual life. Not with life. Everybody's dissatisfied with life. Your spiritual life. Then you have to identify the problem. You know, what is your problem? What is my problem? Well, I'll tell you what my problem was. I couldn't really love God like those two scriptures I just read about. I served Him. I'd been on many church staffs, several, not many, but several. I read my Bible most every day. I prayed most of the time. I talked about Him. I counseled people about Him. I didn't blah, blah, and I didn't blah, blah, and I didn't this and that. But to say that I had what Psalm 42:1 and Matthew 22:36-38, to say that that was the truth of my life was a lie. Flat out lie. Call it what it is. That's a lie. That's lip service. It wasn't the external things in my life that was the problem. Most people didn't think I had a problem. A lot of people tried to talk me out of thinking I had a problem. You're being too hard on yourself. Oh, I heard that. Just being a little too hard on yourself, don't you think? Now, I've always known you. You've been a good girl. You know, you've always loved the Lord. I tried to find how to love Him through rededication. Been there? Rededicate myself to You, Lord. I failed You again. I'm not who You want me to be. I want to start over again. Discipline. Discipline. Just make a plan. Stick to it. Get up early. Start setting your alarm. Be more disciplined in your walk and your faith. Shame. Been there? I mean, goodness, Twyla, look at all He's done for you. Can't you even spend 10 minutes with Him a day? What's wrong with you? You know? Shame. How pathetic you are that you can't stay in love with a God who's done this for you. Bible studies. Beth Moore. Everybody. Bible study, women's studies, discipleship training, read the books, church. I was always in church every time the doors were open. And I took notes, got books full of notes. Been in a lot of different churches, had some good notes and some good preacher sermons if y'all want to read some sometime. But after a period of time, I would always fail again. Not externally, internally. The part nobody else could know about. The spending time with Him was still a discipline in my life, not a joy. Discipline. Sometimes I'd fall asleep during it. Probably the only one that's ever done that, but I would. Daydream, start thinking about everything else I needed to do. Sometimes I made it through successfully, maybe for days or weeks or sometimes even months. I can remember a few times that for a month or so, I was really staying with the Lord in my quiet time, a term I do not like anymore, quiet time. Quiet time? Is that what the presence of God is, just quiet time? Isn't it way more than that? Another sermon. Okay. But it always felt like a duty to me, something I should be doing. I tried a lot of devotion books. I went to see different pastors. One of them that I love greatly, she gave me a read the Bible through in a year Bible. This was going to be it. I'd get on a program. I'd read what I was supposed to read. I did it for a while, you know, but I was busy. Is there anybody out there that knows what I'm talking about? Is there anybody? Maybe it's just me. So I rededicated, I re-promised, I recommitted, I re. And now I really know that here was the real problem. God was a concept to me, not a person. A concept. I was trying to have a relationship with a concept. I'd heard, you know, Jesus wants to be your best friend. That's great. I need that. How? Help me. I'm going to try to explain the difference in believing in a concept and loving a person. I had to think about a lot of different examples I might use because most even concepts or causes have a person attached to them. Okay? But I thought about, you know, I'm 41. I was in middle school in the early 80s. And why this came to me, I don't know. But it was the time where we were going to run out of oil. Y'all remember that? Start to conserve energy and oil because the planet is going to run out of oil. Or at least that's what my teachers told me in middle school. And so, it was a crisis. I remember us getting a little car. You remember that, Mama? We went from having the big family car to all squishing in this little car because it was the 80s fuel economy crisis. And so, you know, that was the concept taught to me. Conserve energy, turn off the lights and, you know, try to drive less and just be more conservative. And I agreed with that. I wanted to do that, okay? But let's think about that concept of conserve energy. If I'm in the bed, sleepy and tired, and I agree that I should do this, and I remember that the light downstairs is on. And I believe in conserving energy. I really do. I agree with that. I really ought to get up. I ought to go do something about that light, but I'm tired. Probably not going to go turn off the light. I'm just probably not, you know, even if it's a really good cause. But I'm in my bed and I'm sleepy and tired and I hear a little voice. Mama, I'm coming up. I'm coming up if I'm so sick I can't hardly move. I'm coming up. Especially if it's more like a, Mama, I'm coming up. Because they're not concepts. They're people. My children are persons, and I have a relationship with them, and it doesn't matter what else is going on. I can't love a concept. I can believe in it. I can commit to it, but eventually my devotion to it will fall short because I can't see it, hear it, feel it, or interact with a concept. So here's my question, and it's where I've been for a long time. How do I love an invisible God? How do I love Him? Really love Him? So we've become dissatisfied with where we are. We've got a problem. Maybe it's not your problem. Maybe you have another problem. But I think this is a lot of people's problem. I really do. It's the first and greatest commandment. We cannot love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind. And back in Deuteronomy it says in your strength. So the answer, we got to locate an answer. I got a problem. Now what is the answer? I want to tell you what the answer is. It's the triune God. The Trinity is the answer to this. In His perfection, He has made a way, and it's called the Trinity. Because, see, He's not just that, and He's not just that, and He's not just that. He's all of that. And every part of Him has a purpose in how He relates and what He does in our lives. And I have to tell you that I knew so much about God the Father, and I knew so much about Jesus the Son, and I knew so little about the Holy Spirit. So little about Him. Let's talk about the parts of the Trinity. God the Father. God the Father made us in His own image. He made us to have a relationship, fellowship with Him. He made Adam and Eve. He put them in the garden. They sinned. We know that. And He kept loving us so much that He sent His one and only Son to die for us to restore the relationship. Now, there are many other things that God the Father, but that's the core of God the Father, is the way I understand Him to be. Jesus the Son provided the substitute blood sacrifice. It's what it took to restore the fellowship. Done away with the old covenant of the blood being shed. It's now His blood. He did it once and for all. He conquered hell. He conquered death. But let's keep going. He ascended. Well, He was raised to life on the third day. He ascended to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Where is He right now? Seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit. Got a Holy Spirit slide. Is that next, Jody? Look at that. Is God in us, on us, around us, here, on earth. Here on earth, God is on earth through this part of Him. I don't know if that means anything to you, but that opened and changed what I understood and what could happen in my life when I came on that, not when that became the truth in me. In us, on us, around us, the person of God that we can know this side of heaven. Would you turn in the scripture with me to Romans 5:5? I want us to look at some things that the Holy Spirit does that specifically helped me to find that He was the answer in this love problem. This love problem, this heart problem. Romans 5:5. Sorry, I'm in Galatians, so that wouldn't be it. Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. You know how we have love for God? Well, it says it right there. By who? The Holy Spirit. That's how He poured out His love into our hearts. Was by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Romans 8:15 and 16. Says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by Him, the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Well, that's personal. Abba, Father, Daddy. That's personal. That's making him into something we have a relationship with, a personal relationship, like when I hear that word mama. Okay? We don't just have to stay at a distance and know that there's a God on a throne, but there is a father, a daddy, who we can interact with, and he interacts with us. That was amazing to me. Galatians 4:6, basically the same concept. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, creates a feeling of love in us that causes us to know God as our Father. And through Him, we can love the Lord in a real relationship. We can have a personal, intimate, emotionally connected relationship. Yes, I said emotionally connected relationship. Newsflash, this is great wisdom. Love is connected to your emotions. It is. The two are intertwined. They are intertwined. How unnatural a love relationship would be with no emotion in it. No emotion. No connection to you. I have no feelings for you, but I love you. I never cry when you're hurt. I never feel joy when you're happy. I'm never concerned, but I love you. There's a mini sermon here. But I grew up, I'm going to say discouraged in the church I was in. Not by my parents. Discouraged as a whole to be emotional about the Lord. Discouraged, I think I'll use the word. Oh, that's just getting emotional. Let's don't get emotional. Let's just talk about the truths of the Lord. Let's learn the truths of the Lord. Let's believe them. Well, I do. I believe. It's all true. I love this word. He's all that. I can't love that concept. I need a personal God that I can feel something for. Where is that? Teach me about that. That's what I need. I'm not trying to make Him less than what He is. This is what He is. He is the Trinity. Praise the Lord. He is the Trinity. He could have just been two things. I'd have had to praise Him anyway and try to follow Him to the best of my ability. But that's not the way that He is. He's three. And I'm not... Some people say, well, now, I think you're starting to elevate the Holy Spirit above God and Jesus. Be careful about that. No, I'm not. They're the same. If I'm elevating the Holy Spirit, I'm elevating God and Jesus. They don't sit around and disagree that Twyla's spending more time on you than me. They're all one. It is when Jesus is glorified, the Holy Spirit comes. They're all the same. While they're three separate things to help you and me in their different roles, they're one God. The Lord is one God, it says in Deuteronomy. All right, I want you to turn to John 16:5. I'm so excited about this scripture. Oh, I'm so excited about it. Turn to John 16. Not 16:5. Yeah, 16:5. We're going to start in verse 5. You know this passage, and I don't care if you know it. That's another problem. We're just hardened to the Word. We've heard the Word. Yeah, I memorized that when I was in Awana. I memorized it. Don't do it like that anymore. Pick it up and let every word sink as though it's the first time you've ever looked at these words in your life. A hungry man searching out for something I need. That's the way we need to read the word, or we're wasting your time to read it. I am. Verse 5, this is what Jesus was telling them. Now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, which that is the Holy Spirit, we all know that, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Known to you. I'm going to come back to that word in a minute. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Known to you. It will become known to you. Now, they use that word different in that writing. Known was, and so-and-so knew his wife and bore a son. Known. Well, these truths, these things that the Father has and the Son has, he, this Holy Spirit, is going to have them too, and he's going to make them known to you. That's when God becomes the God that he can be in us, is when we have that. I'm putting up a long quote that's coming, and I know that's not a good way to be a teacher, but it's two slides long. But I can't say it any better than this right here. This is a beautiful way to say what I'm trying to say. So if you slip through the whole thing, try to wake up and get this. And you can go back to sleep. Okay. The Spirit takes that which is Christ, and he reveals it to the believer. He takes the presence, the love, the forgiveness, all these things we know about, the redemption, the sanctification, the power, the spiritual gifts, and all that is ours through our faith relationship. Still starts with a faith relationship. And he makes it dun, 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 experientially real in our lives. Not theoretically real anymore, or doctrinally real. All those, real. It happens. I see it. I feel it. I'm living it. It's occurring in my life. I'm not sleeping through my quiet time anymore because God's presence is in my closet. I can't sleep. When that happens, I can't daydream. When that happens, because he's there, experientially, the God that I have served for 38 years in theory is now here. And if he's not with you yet like that, I'm not saying you don't have the Holy Spirit. I'm saying you have not learned all that he can become in you. He is the Trinity. He is perfect. He can do it all for you. It is not discipline anymore. It is not shame and guilt and methods and devotion books anymore. He makes it experientially real in your life. Magnesium. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Through the Holy Spirit. I love this. Jesus returns to us. When he was telling them, look, I'm going, but I'm going to send what you need. I'm going to send. Jesus returns to us to give us his love. It's emotional. It's connected. It's real. His grace, his personal fellowship. The Spirit works within us to do what is necessary to awaken and deepen what is necessary. I don't know what's necessary in you. He does. He does what is necessary. I've seen him do some things that were hard, that were necessary. I've seen grown men brought to their knees. Not sure they were going to live till tomorrow, or that they wanted to live till tomorrow. Because he will do what is necessary to bring you to the point of letting him become the God that he can be in you. He will do it to awaken and deepen your awareness of Jesus' presence in your life and draw your heart toward him in faith and love and obedience and communion and worship and praise. And worship and praise. You will not have to be begged to be a worshiper anymore, because you can't help but worship him when he is experientially happening in you. That's Donald Stamps. That's not Twyla Hurst. Let's go back to where we are, trying to get to this change. Well, there's your answer. I've said that already. You have to become dissatisfied with your spiritual life. Identify your problem. Is it a love problem? For most of us, it is. It might be something else. Locate the answer. And even if you locate the answer, maybe today you decide, I heard the answer. I believe that. You know, you can stop at any point on the little flow chart. Some of us never got past dissatisfied. We're still defending who we are. Or we don't really listen today. We don't really care. Or apathy. Whatever it is, we're still there. We're just all at different places where we want to go. But now you got to employ the answer. You have to put the answer into your life. Okay? Here's another news flash. Your spiritual life must be spiritual. Not I teach this and I those are acts. They're good. They're the result of your spiritual life. But your spiritual life is spiritual. Boy, I'm a slow learner. I wish I had known these things a long time ago. And I'm still so pitiful. The Lord just has to go so slow with me. So how can you employ? How can you start to put this answer into your life? And how can I put it in mine? Learn all you can about who the Holy Spirit is. Maybe you already have taken this word. I had not. I started in Genesis. I got some help. You know, I didn't just start reading. But I mean, I got this Bible. This Bible is one of the things that helped me. Life in the Spirit Bible. And it has a little thing in the back that shows me from Genesis through Revelation every time the Holy Spirit is mentioned. And I just started reading from the beginning to the end. What did he do? Who is he? I don't know much about this God, this part of my God. So I just started a study for myself of who is the Holy Spirit? You know, I'd heard Trinity since I was a little girl. I'm not saying that I was in a church that said it was just the Father and the Son. We always said Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that's about as much as I knew. And he's a comforter. And when you have a death in your family, he will come and help you. And, you know, he's a counselor. I think I knew that word. Who is he? Learn about him. It's a new book. It's a new book when you start to learn about him. Wow, you'll see in the Old Testament how this part of the Godhead came on people for a time and allowed them to do something. He didn't stay in the Old Testament. He came, they did. We don't have any record that they were able to continue to do some of the things that they did. Of course, the whole writing of the scripture was because the Holy Spirit came on normal men and allowed them to know things and to write things that they could not have done. But just learn about who he is. And of course, our pastor has preached so much about who he is. But you know, you still got to take some ownership. You still got to decide that you need to know. You care enough to look. You need to turn off the TV and the Facebook and get open and dig in, because I'm dissatisfied. I'm tired of this hamster wheel. I call it the hamster wheel. I've been running that hamster wheel. Are you running it? You can run a lot. Just don't ever go anywhere. All right, so you learn about him. You seek him. Elevate him to his rightful place in the Godhead. I had to do that. He has emotions, the Bible says. Well, I don't think he was very happy with me neglecting him for all of those years. I had to start with some confession, specifically to the Holy Spirit. Surrender to him. That's scary. It may seem scary. It's not really scary, but the scary is you can't be in control. You can't be in control. You're going to have to say that you're going to let the Spirit of the living God be in control of you. I remember praying that prayer, thinking, you know, I may act completely different. My personality may change. It might. Because when I got on my knees, what I asked God to do, this is the way I said it, you can choose your own words. After I'd worked through learning and confessing and trying to let him look through my life and help, I said, God, I want to be possessed by the Holy Spirit of Jehovah. I was careful. I don't want any spirit. I want the Spirit of Jehovah, the living God, the God of this Bible, Jesus Christ. I want that Spirit to take over this spirit that I have. Whatever that looks like, if I have to move to Africa, let's go. If I need to jump up and down, if I need to speak in tongues, if I need to do cartwheels, if I need to just sit and be quiet, whatever you want me to do, if I'm going to be different tomorrow, I need to be different tomorrow. I'm tired of the hamster wheel. I'm dissatisfied. Begin to pray to him. You pray to the Father. You pray to the Son. Maybe you already do. I didn't. I didn't pray much to the Holy Spirit. I didn't worship the Holy Spirit. He was just kind of there. My grandparents called him the Holy Ghost. And in that way, not Holy Ghost, but Holy Ghost. King James people. I'm scared of the Holy Ghost. I didn't understand that. My family was a little bit scared of the Holy Ghost. They acted different when they talked about the Holy Ghost. I mean, we're laughing, but you know I'm telling the truth. I've been there too. I'm telling you. But even in that not understanding and a little bit of uneasiness, well, more than uneasiness, fear, there was something about my mamma, something about her. She was different. She wasn't of this world. She didn't participate in this world. to set apart. Her heart was stolen. I didn't plan to say this, but I want to show you a picture of that because it's where we need to get to. When my grandfather died and we cleaned out her apartment, she didn't have TV. She had a little TV sitting there because we insisted, "Mama, you got to get a TV. Come on." She didn't even know what was on that thing. She never did figure out how to work it. Didn't matter much to her. Sometimes she might watch the weather. That little apartment was nothing but a place of little pieces of paper with scriptures and the books about the Lord and the Bibles that were worn out. That's all she did. And she'd say, I'm not lonesome. How can you be lonesome? God Almighty was in that place. Who cares about TV? Who cares about those silly shows when God could meet with you tonight? That's what she spent her time doing. And when that woman prayed, oh my goodness, when she prayed, things happened. Had a dog. Went missing. It's mine and Jody's dog. Had her for a long time. Flew her all over the country in baseball. Forgive me if I've told you this story before, but I have not forgotten it. She went missing. Jody was still in ball. He was still playing. I had come home, gotten my first teaching job, living back home with Mom and Dad. They didn't have a fence. I brought the dog home. I mean, she was special. She wasn't just a dog. She was, you know those kinds. I mean, she was everything. She was our child at that time. We were also not able to have children at that time. She was our baby. She went missing. I was devastated. I have never cried so hard over anything in my life. I'm sorry to say, more than any death, even that I've been around of a person, I would weep. And I do remember maybe you had come home because you found me in the bathroom floor just to pieces weeping. I said, I know this is immature, but it's the worst thing. I cannot deal with it. I cannot stand how much I miss this dog. Silly, I know. I told my mama about that dog on a Saturday. And on Sunday morning, about the time the sun came up, my neighbor called. He said, Diamond is standing here in my front yard. I mean, she'd been gone like a week, probably. I said, okay, grab her. And so I went over there and we got her. And it was awesome. And I told my mama, said, I have Diamond back. She came home. This is what my mama told me. She said, I prayed that whoever had that dog, that God would deny sleep to them until they returned her to you. Those people were tired. Take that dog home. Okay? I am not saying that she was a special person because she was a special person. She knew this Holy Spirit. He was experiential to her. And so the way that also plays out in your prayer life is He begins to guide your praying to know things that you could never know. Because He's God. Says He's going to tell you things that are to come. Let's just say that in the Word. He'll start to tell you, start to get serious to pray for somebody. And all of a sudden, He's like, ask for this. And say, or you just hear it coming out of your mouth. You're like, I don't know where that came from. Okay, God. Specific things that you can't know. That's the Holy Spirit. And then you see them happen and you're like, oh, wow. God, you are real. You're not just in a book. You're in my life. It's awesome. And it's just amazing. And I need to move on. Ask Him to do the things in your life that the Bible says He will do. When you've read this Word and you've seen all the things that He can do, begin to ask Him to do them. There's all kinds of promises here. There's all kinds of things that He can do in you through through you, in you, for the people around you, for your children. Begin to ask him, Lord, I that's what I need. I need you to do that in me. Holy Spirit, do that in me. Make that really happen in me. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Expect to experience him. Expect to experience. I've already been here today, but I'm talking about not in concept, but in reality. When I talk about these things, my daddy says, do, 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 do. And we laugh. I love my daddy. He's so real all the time. Well, some of these things are do, 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 do. They are. God is a spirit. There is a spiritual world. Newsflash. I don't like, that scares me. I still get scared about the evil spirits. I do. That's just me. But it didn't matter. God didn't ask my opinion. That's the truth. That's what it says. Okay? Expect to encounter him. I don't know what your encounter will be. I would never tell you what it should be. I hope you don't follow a teaching that somebody tells you what it's got to be. But you'll have encounters with him. He won't be a God in a book that you're reading about like he's a fairy tale anymore. Does fate still have a place then, Twyla? It's all got to be, it's got to happen. Absolutely. He knows the perfect balance. He knows the balance between you believing what you cannot see and him giving you enough of him that you can see, hear, feel, and touch to love. He'll work that out. You don't have to worry about that. He's God. The Holy Spirit can change your life. You can't change it. You cannot. I couldn't. I could not change my spiritual life. But I've met one who can. He does it. Praise the Lord. He does it. The complete Trinity of God. Would you bow your heads? I'm going to ask you some more questions. Are you dissatisfied enough to seek a change? If the answer is no, you've got to start there. You've got to start by asking the Lord to help you to become dissatisfied with your spiritual life. Maybe you are. Maybe you've been there a long time. Maybe you need to figure out what is your problem. Maybe your problem is something else. The Holy Spirit knows. But I think that for a lot of us, especially since Jesus concentrated on that as the first and the greatest commandment, he knew that that's where it all starts. If you've got a love problem, that's the root of it, and you may have other things that you can't fix, but it all comes back to loving the Lord that way. Maybe you haven't known how to love an invisible God. Are you accessing all parts of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do you need to learn more about who the Holy Spirit is? Right now, say, Holy Spirit, I know some, but I need you to teach me. I need you to become my teacher. And show me who you are and what role you want to play in my life. Maybe I've neglected the Holy Spirit. You might need to do some specific confessing to him. Maybe it was through ignorance. You just really didn't know. Maybe it was through fear. Maybe it was through misunderstanding. Maybe it's through apathy. Or the busy mind syndrome. I don't really know, because I just think about other things all the time. Do you need Him to do the things you've heard about today? Holy Spirit, would you pour God's love into my heart so that I think of Him now as a daddy and I have a relationship with Him that is like a father-son or a daughter-son, or it's connected with feeling. Holy Spirit, we need you in this place. We need you in our lives. We desire you. We exalt you. You are the Spirit of the living God. Come. Meet us, each one, where we are. We need to experience God.